How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Eastern, with Jim Valley on Saturdays, and Sundays, 6 p.m., with me, Andrew Zarian. Holy moly. You know, I like to start the show with so much energy, and it keeps me going, but I just, what a strange, terrible week for professional wrestling. I have so much to talk about regarding Jay Briscoe's passing. Terribly unfortunate passing. 38 years old. I want to talk about Warner and how they were against a tribute to this guy. Shock. I was actually very surprised by that. I'm going to go into it, obviously. But tremendous stuff happening over there. I a lot of hypocrisy. Very strange by their actions here. But, you know, we're going to talk about it. Sami Zayn will be on trial on Friday at Raw XXX. Raw 30, it's already changing. We were supposed to get a celebration for the bloodline, a ceremony, an acknowledgement ceremony for Roman. And Sika was supposed to be there. Rikishi was supposed to be there. And now it's totally changed, and they're doing a trial for Sami. For all the injustice Sami has caused the bloodline. Interesting stuff. I'm curious what they do tomorrow night. I'm excited for that show, actually. Okada got into a worked shoot, and I'm using hand quotes for the people listening on the radio, at the Wrestle Kingdom 17 Yokohama show. Very interesting stuff. If you guys have not seen this, look it up. And Sting and Darby Allin team with a great Muda for his last match tour. All this and a lot more on Wrestling Observer Live when we come back. Stay tuned here on Sports Byline. Wrestling Observer Live here, Sunday edition. A lot to break down here. I want to start off the big topic here of the week. Obviously, huge story in the world of professional wrestling. Jay Briscoe passes away tragically in a car accident at the age of 38 in his home state of Delaware. Terrible, terrible story. Dave did an amazing job in the Observer. If you have not read this week's Observer, I highly, highly recommend you do it. Great job by Dave. Brian took questions on Observer Live this week. Just shockingly tragic when you hear something like this. For people who don't know, he was in a head-on collision while apparently taking his daughters to cheerleading practice. Both his daughters were in the car. A car from the other lane swerved into his, and it was a head-on collision. The driver of the other vehicle, I believe 27-year-old female wearing a seatbelt, died from the crash. Jay Briscoe was not wearing a seatbelt. He passed away from the head-on collision. Both his daughters were rushed to the hospital in critical condition. The oldest was suffering from some sort of paralysis due to spinal damage that required surgery. She did not have feeling in her legs. She couldn't move her legs. At one point, she gained feeling in her upper legs, but she went through surgery. Now we're hearing that, you know, she's gaining feeling and functionality in her legs little by little, but it's going to be a long journey. Heartbreaking. Heartbreaking story here. The entire wrestling world paid tribute in some capacity. NXT mentioned it on the air. The New Day had to change their segment. You saw on SmackDown, many talent that worked with them in Ring of Honor wore armbands that said "Them Boys." We saw it on Dynamite also, where you had, you know, the Briscoe Jay Briscoe on it, or Jay on it, Them Boys on it. You know, when you hear something like this, it's heartbreaking, especially the kids were involved. 38 years old, he's a young man. Ring of Honor was starting up. His career was still going. You know, he had one hell of a year with his brother, you know, working against FTR. You know, there is so much to this. Just really, you never want to read anything like this. You never want to hear anything like this. Just an amazing, amazing talent. And you saw the outpour of support from talent within the business, from fans. I can't even begin to tell you how many times I've seen him wrestle with his brother in Ring of Honor. and the support that came from all companies. That was a tribute in, at that NOAA show last week with, you know, they held a picture of the Briscoes. You saw what WWE did. The other half of the story, and this part sucks, right? This is terrible. We did not get a full-blown tribute show on Dynamite. Not because they chose not to. Has nothing to do with, you know, they already had plans in motion. It had to do, apparently, Warner Media did not want them to do it. WBM was not for them doing a tribute show here. We've heard the news, or you know, not so much rumors, but fact, they did not want the Briscoes on TV. A lot of this stems from a comment, two comments, pretty much, that Jay Briscoe had done on social media in 2011 and 2013. Whether or not, you know, Warner read those, or somebody, you know, they knew about this, or they had, you know, or somebody told them about it. You know, to me, it really comes off as what was the community? What was their response to this? I saw people from every possible side, politically, non-politically, in support of Jay Briscoe. I saw very little of negativity towards Jay Briscoe. You know, people change over time. I am a believer of second chances for most things, let me just say. Sometimes things are unforgivable, obviously. However, a idiotic comment on Twitter where you are also very apologetic for what you said, right? He was extremely apologetic for the things that he has said. He said that he was an idiot. He said that I saw people defending that maybe it was a work, maybe it was a character. It doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter. We have a very different standard by today than we did 10 years ago. Not saying that that was right 10 years ago, but we hold people more accountable today than we did a decade ago. He was held accountable. There were rumors that he maybe, you know, blew his chances of getting a WWE job at that point, you know, and he immediately was apologetic about this. Up until, I believe, March or May, he did an interview recently this year, and he said that he will continue apologizing for the thing that he said because it was hurtful. People deserve a second chance, especially if it's a boneheaded comment on social media. It's not like he created physical harm onto someone. And for Warner to turn around and say, hey, listen, that thing that happened a decade ago that we knew nothing about and we have no interest in, it's still, I'm so sorry, we can't do it. Then the hypocrisy begins, right? Okay. Listen, Dana White launched that idiotic power slap. My opinion, enjoy it if you like it. Personally, I think it's dumb. I think it's a really stupid product. It's not a sport by any means. It's not an artistic presentation like professional wrestling could be considered. You are unprotected. Your hands are to your side. You can't flinch. And you're getting hit as hard with an open hand to your face, to the point of causing some sort of head trauma where you get knocked out. You could say, okay, the argument is, boxing, you could defend yourself. And those are highly skilled professionals. You're not in a professional boxing fight on television if you haven't been training for a long time. Even with those celebrity boxing fights that we're seeing, they're still in some capacity training. There's some headgear involved. They're not hitting you as hard as possible. You know, you could say the Logan Paul fights or the Jake Paul fights. You know, those guys are still training and they're still professional fighters in some capacity. They know how to take a hit. So you have that on by a guy that slapped his wife very publicly a few weeks ago. You're in bed with that. And again, I'm not stating my opinion on Dana White's situation. I would think that that's beyond I'm not even going into that. I think we all know. I think everybody's opinion is the same on this. No consequences there whatsoever. You're still highlighting it on after AEW. But yet you do not allow a tribute to a man that died tragically in a horrific way with his children witnessing it, with the kids hurt. And you're not allowing they only allowed them the bare minimum. Not even a 10-bell salute. That's harmful for your brand? While you're airing, I mean, listen, I am not part of this cancel culture mentality. Listen, something's very unforgivable when you say and do, and the court of public opinion will punish you. Your job could be fired if you do something idiotic. Fine, whatever. But 10 years have gone by. And you're not allowing this guy. You know what? TBS airs Family Guy and American Dad on syndication. I will guarantee you, if you watch that show, there will be a joke. There will be a statement made that is worse than what he said. Okay? However, that's creative, I guess, creative liberty, right? You could do that. I don't know. You know, maybe I'm a little hot over this. A little bit I am. But we got to look at things in a different perspective sometimes. You know, at times, maybe we could forgive this guy. Unbelievable. Tony Khan did record a special at the end, and it's going to air on Ring of Honor TV. When we get back, I want to touch on this a little bit more. And then go into the rest of the news. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live here, Sunday edition with me, Andrew Zarian. I got a little hot on that segment. I'm so sorry. My emotions took over a little bit. But, you know, very, very much bothered me. Regardless of any of this. I think it's a very boneheaded move by Turner. No blame on AEW whatsoever. And I think that people that if you think that this was a AEW or Tony Khan thing, you're fooling yourself. This was just a stupid decision made by Warner. And I really hope the amount of support that existed for Jay this week and his family, I hope those same people are letting Warner Media know that they were wrong here. They were wrong about a person they know nothing about. Zero. By the way, I never go into this. I'm so upset over this still. I really am. I almost cursed on the air for the first time in over a year doing this. I really hope they're second guessing what they did. You can't go backwards, but I really hope they're second guessing, like, hey, maybe we made the wrong call here. I know a lot of people in that company, and I know a ton of great people in that company, and I could tell you, I spoke to them last week, and they were all surprised by this. They were shocked that they were still so adamant that this is the story, this is the stand that they took. So Tony Khan instead did record a special episode of Ring of Honor that's going to be airing for free on Honor Club as well as Ring of Honor YouTube. I'm not sure on the date. Maybe my producer knows. I don't have the date on hand here. Going into something else here, Vince McMahon repeals January's WWE bylaw amendment. A new lawsuit was filed. We did not talk about this last week. This was early in the week. New potential class action lawsuit filed last week by the Detroit Police and Fire Retirement System, I guess because they hold stock in WWE. Adam Hopkins, someone I know, WWE Vice President of Public Relations, has left the company after 25 years. Adam was in that company for a very long time. He had a number of jobs. Adam, really good guy, man. Personally, for me, I attribute WWE's openness to wrestling media over the last couple years, I really attribute to Adam and his approach to working with media. you know, you could talk to Sean Ross Sapp, you could talk to Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, whoever, Mike Johnson, whoever covers professional wrestling. Everybody had a very high standard for Adam. I mean, we all very much liked dealing with him. Questions would get answered. And same thing with a lot of those other guys. You know, there's other people in that department, too. I know that the vice president of communications, she was also she also left the company, and somebody else was moved to a different department. So I don't know who's left there. But there is shakeups happening corporate wise in this company. And I thought they weren't going to be. Right. A lot of the stuff is topics that they discussed 2 weeks ago. And they're like, hey, listen, not a lot of shakeups, not a lot of changes happening. Well, this is a big change. This is your forward-facing, you know, communications. And he's gone. I did hear that I don't know. I heard numerous things. One, maybe he was a little blindsided by this. You know, I don't think people expected there to be a shakeup on that side, but within the company, but there was. So we'll see what happens there. Another story came out in the Wrestling Observer newsletter. Dave mentioned... Dave had a little blurb about The Rock's WrestleMania status. Now, I don't know where I fall on this, right? He stated that The Rock said he doesn't think he doesn't believe he'll have enough time to get into ring shape for a match with Roman Reigns, but he's open to doing something further down the line. You know, we're at WrestleMania now. This rumor's existed for numerous years. Last year, it didn't happen. Part of the story was that, you know, it was his schedule. Some was that we were still dealing with restrictions from COVID that were still playing out. It wasn't the time to do it. He was still filming. However, this year he had an open schedule. XFL has kind of taken over for him. He's going to be doing a lot of public appearances for the XFL. He's going to be promoting that along with 10,000 other things he does. He doesn't have time to get in ring shape. I tweeted this, and a lot of people messaged me back, and they're like, what do you mean? Look at the shape he's in. Two very different things, guys. Two totally different things. You know, we saw what happened the last time. He wrestled. He essentially damaged himself to the point of tearing his muscle off the bone and it delaying filming of Hercules, and it cost the company tons of money because they had to delay it. Is this a swerve? Could it be? I guess it could be. Every comment from WWE, they have a standard answer. I don't know if this is an Adam Hopkins thing, because if it is, you know, everybody committed to your standard answer here, Adam. If Dwayne wants to do something, we are all for it. That is always the answer that I get. It's never a no. It's never a yes. Even about this, I asked. I reached out. I didn't get a no. I got, well, if he wants to do something, he will. But we're kind of out of time here, aren't we? I would say so. Next week is Royal Rumble. By the way, for me, maybe not for you, for me, as a kid that grew up loving the Rumble, we would have my entire family over. My father would constantly tell us how wrestling isn't real throughout the entirety of that match. In his heavy accent, he would yell, how can he just stand there? And he throws him out. It was a spectacle for us as kids and my family. And I absolutely love the Rumble. The Rumble is my favorite match. I would take a Rumble match over WrestleMania any day. And I'm fine with you telling me I'm wrong here. It is something that I love. It is Rumble season. You got to know your plans. WWE knows their plans. I don't think this is like a last minute. Oh, Dwayne doesn't want to do it. I would expect that company to be a little bit more prepared for a Rock return. However, you know, I don't know if this was them preparing for the just in case he does it, but they released new Rock merch. They upgraded the flyer with, you know, everybody was freaking out online that there's electric bolts, lightning bolts happening on the flyer now. I mean, I don't think that has anything to do with it, but, you know, WWE's putting out a bunch of clips on their YouTube channel that feature The Rock. They put out new merch with The Rock's stuff on there. You know, I would imagine that at the lowest level, this was, hey, let's just be prepared just in case, right? And The Rock stuff sells anyway, and people are anticipating The Rock may be coming. Let's capitalize on this if we can. That's at the lowest end. At the high end, he is coming back for something. He will do something. Also, this doesn't mean he won't be at WrestleMania, and he won't do something at WrestleMania. That's also the other part here, right? So you could get a half-assed return of some capacity. Maybe Roman wins and they build it for next year and they commit for next year, which I hate when they do. I don't want a one-year commitment. I want it to happen soon. The Rock is 50 years old now. You don't have too many more years of waiting for this. You know, there's only a couple of those, handful of those moments that we really, you know, those mega, I'm saying top tier matches that we never got. I think Rock Roman could be on that list. Maybe not today, by your standard today, but in 10 years from now, you know, that could be the Hogan-Rock match. But we never got Hogan-Austin. The closest we got was the night before WrestleMania 17? Where it was 18. The night before the Monday Night Raw before WrestleMania 18, where it was a handicap 3-on-1 match. 3-on-2 match. It was actually a fantastic match, by the way. Great pop for everybody. It was the NWO, Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, and Hogan versus The Rock and Steve Austin. That was the only time we came close to it. That match never happened. Goldberg-Austin never happened. According to some people, I apparently reported that that was happening, which I never did. MG, verify that for me. Did I ever report that The Rock, that Stone Cold Steve Austin and Goldberg were having a match at WrestleMania last year? Thank you very much. Thank you very much. It got twisted around to the point that somebody made a fake transcript. I mean, wild stuff. But, you know, this is a moment. This is a big moment. But, you know, when I spoke to someone at WWE about this week, the answer was, you know, maybe we don't need him. It was the same, actually very similar response to that Royal Rumble story about why Cody was announced for the Rumble rather than kept secret. And the answer was, well, they feel they have enough surprises that are going to give people that element. So I'm imagining it's Edge returning. I'm imagining some people that maybe will not be on Raw 30 that are legends show up in the Rumble. You know, if you get enough, if you get like two or three of these, then people are a little bit more content with you not announcing or you announcing Cody returning. But now the question is, well, what happens with the main event at WrestleMania? Is it Cody and Roman and Cody dethrones the king? Do you somehow end up with Seth Rollins involved with Cody? Could you get a double elimination? Double, you know, both guys get thrown out. We haven't seen that in a long time. Maybe Vince could come out and tear his quads again and go away. Maybe that's how you get Vince to go away. He tears his quads again. What year was that? 2008, I think, right? 2007? 2005? Oh my gosh. I can't believe, you know, those mid-2000s, I'm a little lost on still. Everything from WrestleMania 20 to like 27, it's like a blur to me for some odd reason. But again, Rumble next weekend, and we're going to have a big show next weekend for the Rumble. Guys, we're going to go to break in a couple minutes here. In a couple seconds, I should say. But when we get back, I want to talk about Okada and Kiyomiya. Great stuff. You know, I feel like New Japan's kind of getting back here. They got everything rolling. They got it pumping. Wrestling Observer Live Sunday edition here on Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live Sunday edition here on Sports Byline with me, Andrew Zarian. Royal Rumble lineup. As of right now, for next weekend, next Saturday. Love a Saturday Rumble. Love a Saturday pay-per-view. Love a Saturday Rumble. Love an early pay-per-view. Love an afternoon pay-per-view. Give me a noon pay-per-view. I don't want to stay up till midnight here on the East Coast and watch wrestling. I really, it's becoming more and more difficult for me. Listen, I got kids. My kids are maniacs. They wake up at 4:30 in the morning. They want to start their day. My 7-year-old's like, hey, I want to wake up and have breakfast and get ready for school. I'm like, you don't have school for like 3 hours, dude. Undisputed WWE Universal Champion Roman Reigns versus Kevin Owens. They've done a great job at this build. Kevin Owens looks great. They've elevated him back into this top position. We'll see what happens with this match if Sammy plays a part. Raw Women's Championship, Bianca Belair and Alexa Bliss. Spooky shenanigans? Do we get that? We'll find out. We got another weird match. The Mountain Dew Pitch Black match between Bray Wyatt and LA Knight. Terrible name. I get it. Marketing. They're making money from Mountain Dew for this. This was like that idiotic zombie match that they had, which a lot of people liked. I don't know why. MG, our producer, I'm going to ask you, what do you think they do in this match?
That's a, you know what? I was just thinking about that as you were saying it. I think all they're going to do is it's going to be a no rules match, and they're going to go anywhere in the building, and they're just going to turn the lights out and just have one spotlight on each guy. And that's going to be it. And there's going to be nothing different. That's the only thing I can think of, that it's just going to be one spotlight in the entire building. And
you think that's what it is? That they just, I was thinking it's just going to be like dimmed lights for home. You know, here's a little secret, guys.
It could be.
You know when the lights go black? It's not really pitch black in the building. You can still see stuff in the building. They can't make it pitch black. It's a fire hazard. Maybe they do one of those where they kind of drop the exposure down on the TV and you're like, ah, what's going on? You just see arms moving. It's like that Savio, like that Savio Vega and Steve Austin match where they lost power. Maybe you could do that. I don't know. I get it. You know, it's a wacky gimmick. It's for younger kids. Those are the ones that are very into Bray. Imagine they don't pitch. It's not like a pitch black match. It's just like Mountain Dew pitch black. They just drink a Mountain Dew. The winner gets like a case of Mountain Dew. Disgusting. Hate soda. Men's Royal Rumble match. So far announced. Cody, Omos, Rey Mysterio, Gunther, Seth Rollins, Bobby Lashley, Baron Corbin, Austin Theory, Santos Escobar, Kofi Kingston, and Ricochet. I'm curious if they do something big between Seth Rollins and Cody in this match. You know, the more I think about it, because we know that we're going to get one more match out of them before WrestleMania. Or maybe at WrestleMania. Maybe it becomes a three-way for the title. Roman still looks good. That's such a cop-out, though. I don't want that. You know, whoever beats Roman needs to be made into the king. Is Cody the guy? We don't know what that reaction is going to be. Personally, I think he's going to get a huge reaction, right? But it's been months. You know, him leaving AEW in January, showing up in April, was a huge, huge deal. But people forget very quickly at the importance of what happened in the first half of the year last year for wrestling. Cody going was a major, major story. Backstage-wise, politically, business-wise, it was a huge story. So I if people still remember the importance of this, if you're a WWE fan, your version of the story is that Cody tore his bicep and arm and chest. And this man is returning after that terrible injury where he actually wrestled and made himself into this hero. If that's the story there, it'll work also. But interested to see who wins. You know, I expect, you know, do we get an Edge return? Edge, that would be the time to do it, right? Maybe he comes in and does something with Finn Balor. You could do that. You set up that match for WrestleMania. And then you got Elimination Chamber, which you got to have something on the line there. We'll find out. Things are heating up, guys. You know, we've been so inundated with the non-wrestling aspect of professional wrestling over the last year that you kind of have overlooked these like positive moments, like AEW, for example. You know, we totally have overlooked Kenny Omega coming back and looking like $1 million. Because of what happened with CM Punk. You know, these are all distractions, really, for the story here. Women's Royal Rumble, Liv Morgan, Rhea Ripley, Raquel Rodriguez, and Candice LeRae announced so far. I think there might have been one or two more announcements. So, yeah, that's the Royal Rumble card. Next week, we're going to be back with it. We're going to talk about Royal Rumble. A lot of stuff going on there. I'm gonna do something I rarely do on the show. I'm going to ask my producer where I should go next. Because my screen has blacked out. Matt, would you tell us kindly where I should go?
Why don't we quickly go over SmackDown and Sami Zayn and where they're heading with all that?
Yeah, so Sami Zayn, and then I want to go into some AEW stuff because then I'm going to get yelled at. Last week, I wore an AEW shirt. Can I tell you, I wore a little sweater. Can I tell you how many people started screaming at me that I'm so biased by wearing the colors of my team? I'm like, dude, it's a sweater. I wear a Steve Austin shirt and I wear an NWO shirt. I wear an Evolve shirt. I wear an ECW shirt. Whatever. I just picked it up. I was cold. It was in my office. What do you want me to do? Sami Zayn stuff is pretty cool. This is leading to, I'm sure, a match at Elimination Chamber. That was the early report that I had gotten between Sami Zayn and... What if Sami beats him for one of the titles, man, at Elimination Chamber? That would be cool. You split that title off. You could do something else. But they're working here, and it changed the plans for Raw 30. Interesting stuff. I do want to go into Dynamite here quickly because there was some important stuff that happened here. Orange Cassidy defeated Jay Lethal. Jeff Jarrett at ringside with Satnam Singh. Danhausen is the greatest vaudevillain professional wrestler I've ever seen in my life. He was dressed as a security guard. I love everything about Danhausen. I don't care. PWI, number one on my list. The Danhausen. Top Flight, Darius and Dante Martin defeated the AEW Trio champion, the Young Bucks, Nick and Matt. Story here could lead into, I mean, the way I would do it, right? If I'm going to put on my fantasy booker hat, maybe the Young Bucks can't cut it in a tag match anymore. You know, they've been doing trios for so long. They're beat up from those trios matches. They're having some issues here. Maybe they can't do it anymore. And they'll bring Kenny Omega in and Top Flight will find a partner and the Bucks and Kenny will win. Ricky Starks defeated Jake Hager. This man is so over now with that stupid hat. The Ass Boys attempted a promo on Max Caster and it failed. And they're doing family therapy next week with Billy Gunn. Danielson defeated Bandido in one of my favorite matches in a long time. My God, this was a clinic. Danielson is perfect in every way as a professional wrestler. That is exactly the style of wrestling that I very, very much enjoy. I'm not really a deathmatch guy, but I understand there's aspects of it that are really good. I'm not really a hardcore guy. Even the high-flying stuff, sometimes it's not for me. I love the Danielson style. Bandido really showed how great he is here, too. Fantastic match. Let's go into this New Japan stuff, Matt. Did you watch that kick? Holy moly.
It was brutal. It was really brutal. There was some malicious intent behind that.
So
thing.
If you haven't, go on Twitter, right? Go on Twitter and see this. So Okada is doing like a rest hold, right? He has him in a headlock or something. And Kiyomiya comes in, kicks the crap out of him in his back. And finally, you know, Okada lets go. And he takes like this roundhouse right to the head, pops up from it, sells it for a little bit, pops up and pummels this dude. Pummels him. Great, great setup for this. A lot of people thought that this was, you know, totally a shoot. And they went into business and all this stuff I saw online. They set up the match at the Dome, right?
I haven't announced it yet, but I think they're going to have a big...
No, I believe they announced it. They announced it.
I'll see if I can look.
So this is going to take place February 21st. The show ended with Muda, by the way, challenging Naito for what will be his final match in the Tokyo Dome on February 21st. Also, Muda tagged up with Darby Allin and Sting last night or early this morning. I watched parts of this. I want to watch the entirety of the show. They brought out the Great Kabuki before the match. The finish was Muda hit with a miss after he fell on Hakushi, right? He missed it. Hakushi. I was trying to come up with the naming. I was going to go to his WWE name. Muda missed it, Hakushi, after he fell as he was doing the rope walk. Sting followed with the Scorpion Death Drop. Allin hit the coffin drop. Very cool stuff. Muda pinned Hakushi with the Shining Wizard and ended the match. Very cool stuff, man. I love this. Muda's, you know, the last of that generation. Does he go in the Hall of Fame, the WWE Hall of Fame? I think if this would be the year to do it in LA. You should.
Would be, I mean, if you're going to bring Juice and Liger in, Muda was in from that same era, it makes sense.
Listen, he's one of the greatest of all time. One of the most recognizable Japanese names for American professional wrestlers. He had a decent run in WCW. He had amazing matches with Flair. Dude was very unique and very special for professional wrestling, especially Japanese wrestling. And that is he the last one from that group to still be wrestling? Yeah, I think he is.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Well, yeah. I mean, the matches he had with Sting is what I remember from him.
Yeah, the Sting matches were great too. Yeah, fantastic. I mean, it was very unique to see at that time as a kid, because you never saw, it was rare, especially on TV, because WWE wasn't doing anything like that. And you had this, he was so ahead of his time by today's standards, when you look at it.
It was the first guy that really did a moonsault, made a moonsault famous for American.
He made it famous, yeah. Rampage results, Jungle Boy defeated Ethan Page. The Machine Brian Cage defeated Willie Mack I guess they had this great match at Dark, and they wanted to put it on TV. It was cool to see Willie Mack on TV. TBS champion Jade Cargill and Layla Gray defeated, who did they face? Who is it? Jordan Vanity and I forgot who she faced. My brain just stopped. And Action Andretti defeated Daniel Jadia. Garcia. Jadia, there you go. Sorry, I'm going blind here. My notes are, I've lost, I don't see my screen. I got a highlight to see the screen. It's so weird here. Action Andretti defeated Daniel Garcia. Daniel Garcia had the leather pants on. That was a big story here. Wrestling Observer Live. Going to a quick break here on Sports Byline. We'll be right back after this. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live. Final few minutes here on the show. Big shout out to Matt Ryan, friend of the show. Catalyst Wrestling this evening. While we're doing this, he has a show going on. Main event is Homicide and Colby Carino in one of his final independent wrestling matches. Shh. The worst kept secret in professional wrestling. Colby is leaving and he's going somewhere. So we'll see. Fantastic wrestler, by the way. He's going to have a great future wherever he goes. Congratulations to Matt for putting on a really good show. I'm hearing already people have been messaging me. The show went on at 4:30 and people really, really enjoyed it in Brooklyn. While we were on break, by the way, one of our other producers that you guys never hear, John Suncast, if you've watched any of my other content, he's just learning wrestling because he produces Wrestling Observer Live Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And, he's a great producer for podcasts and internet broadcasting, but he really doesn't know wrestling that much. He's learning now. He came to All Out in Chicago last year. He freaking had a blast. Everybody had a great time. So, he's getting into it, It's fun. He's 30-something. He's 40 years old. He's like, yeah, I'm getting into wrestling now. He goes, can I say something? I'm like, yeah, what? He goes, that Ass Boys thing is really dumb. Why do they call him that? I don't understand it. And I had to go and give him a deep dive over our commercial break of Billy Gunn and why they're called the Ass Boys. And my only way of explaining was to sing the Billy Gunn I'm an Ass Man song. I definitely did not sing the proper lyrics. This was an NC-17 version of that song. And he goes, oh, by the way, I'm very glad I keep recording everything you do off the air. And then he just left it, and we came back from commercial break. So I have no idea. This is one of his blackmailing tactics I'm sure he's going to have. But we're out of time here. Wrestling Observer Live will be back next week. See you later.